appreciate that singing. If you've got your Bibles with you this afternoon, I'll invite you to get those out. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter number 14. The book of Genesis, chapter number 14 is where we'll find our thought for tonight. And I'll give you a very familiar thought from an unsuspecting passage. How about that? I found a thought this week in my meditation that I guess I've never seen before. And never seen it in this light, at least. And so I'll try to give you that thought tonight and get out of the way. Genesis chapter 14, if you want to stand with us, we'll begin our reading in verse 17. And we'll read down through verse 24 and give you a thought here in just a minute. Genesis 14, 17 says, "And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after the return." Now we know where we're at. This is Abraham, and he has come back from the battle. And so we meet him after the return, the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, however you say that. You don't know how to say it either, so I don't feel so bad. And the kings that were with him in the valley of Sheva, which is in the king's dell, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And he, blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself." And Abram said to the king of Sodom, "If I lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from thee a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I've made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Ishkol, Mamre, let them take their portion." Father, I pray you would add your blessings to your word. Help us for these moments, God, as we try to preach. And Lord, let us be an encouragement and a help to somebody. May we be challenged in the Word of God tonight is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Now, most of you are familiar with our text. Sometime prior to Genesis chapter 14, Lot has separated from his uncle Abraham. And he's gone down into Sodom and Gomorrah and pitched his tent there and made his life there. When the chapter begins, four kings rise up against the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, and three other kings. And in the wake of these four kings coming against them, the king of Sodom is forced to flee from his enemies. And when he flees from his enemies, the city of Sodom and those other kingdoms are taken captive. As part of taking the city, we read in chapter 14 that Lot and his family are taken as spoils of the battle. Now, I don't want to get into that too deep tonight because we'll cover it soon in our Wednesday night Bible study. But allow me to say this tonight, just in passing. It is not my message, but I want to point it out. Lot, when he saw Sodom, he saw the well-watered plains. He never imagined he'd be a captive of war not many days after pitching his tent toward Sodom. I want to say this. Sin always shows you the well-watered plains. It does not show you the sorrow that comes along with it. Can I get somebody right there? After the city of Sodom and Gomorrah is taken along with Lot and his family, word comes to Abraham what has happened. Abram takes a group of men from his household. He pursues these four kings. He defeats them and he recovers everything that has been lost, including Lot. When Abraham returns from the battle, the Bible says in the text that we just read that two men come out to meet him. The king of Sodom comes first, followed by an interesting man named Melchizedek, who is said to be the king and priest of Salem. He's the man of God and he's a type of the picture of Jesus Christ. Now this week the Lord showed me something from this text I've never seen before. Or maybe should I say I've never seen it in this way before. This thought has been on my heart for days and I want to show it to you. Here is Abraham in our text having just defeated this great enemy. He has rescued Lot. He has recovered a great spool. And when he returns, like I just said, he is met by two men. Not only is he met by two men, he is met by two options. The Bible says he's met by the king of Sodom. The king of Sodom is the top of the flesh and the top of the devil. When this king comes, he begins to offer things to Abraham. He says in verse 21, "And the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself." Do you see it? Here comes the flesh, and here comes the devil. Here comes the king of Sodom, and he says, "I want to give you something. Give." He said, "Abraham, I've got something I want you to receive." But then the second man comes. He's not the king of Sodom, but he's the king of Salem. He's a type of Christ. He's a type of the Spirit. And when the king of Salem comes to Abraham, instead of someone saying, "Receive, receive, receive," there's something inside of Abraham that says, "Give, give, give." And the Bible says in verse number 19 and verse 20, Abraham saw him and he gave him tithes of all. One man said, "Give," and the other man said, "Receive." With this thought in mind, I want to preach on this subject. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. In Acts chapter number 20, the Apostle Paul is leaving the city of Ephesus for the last time, and as he stands with tears in his eyes and speaks to that church, those leaders of that church, he begins to give them some final instructions before his departure. He tells them to beware of wolves. He instructs them to feed the flock. He encourages them to remember the things that he taught them. And then he said this in verse 35 of Acts chapter 20. He said, "I have showed you all things, how in so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Paul tells them to remember the words of Jesus Christ. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now that's an interesting statement. It's an interesting statement because as far as we know in the four Gospels, Jesus never said that. There's no recorded passage where Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than receive. But I've got no doubt that he said it. You know how I know he said it? Paul said he said it. Not only do I believe he said it, I believe it was the attitude of his life. I believe that if there was one driving principle that drove the life of Jesus Christ, it would be this principle: it's more blessed to give than receive. I know that because in those four Gospels, I read where Jesus gave and gave and gave and gave, but he never did anything for himself. He lived what he preached. He lived what he said. It's more blessed to give than receive. Now, I know this. I know that it's easy to get caught up in life, and in so doing, we forget this principle. In fact, I think we are wired to think of ourselves first. I don't know if it's some sort of self-preservation mechanism that's in our brain or what it is, but I know that to most people, the important person in their life is themselves. I know that to be true. Therefore, for us to find it more blessed to give than receive goes against our normal way of thinking. Our flesh always wants something more. We want somebody to do us a favor. We want somebody to make our life easier. We want something to be done that we will enjoy. But if you are saved, there should be one inside of you that says, do somebody else a favor. Make their life easier. Do something that'll make them happy. It's more blessed to give than receive. Here in just a minute, I'll give you 3 points out of this text and show you why it is more blessed to give than receive. But I want to give you 4 things by way of introduction and tell you what I mean when I say it's more blessed to give. What do you mean, preacher, to give? What does that mean? Well, I wrote down four things. They all begin with the letter T. You could probably write them down before I give them to you. Go ahead and write them down in your notebook. You know what they are. I think we could all give our tithe, could we not? Amen. That's the simple one. That's the obvious one. That's the one in our text. The Bible says when Melchizedek came to Abraham, Abraham got out his wallet and he said, "Hey, preacher, I want to give an offering to the church." Amen. That's right. And he gave him a tenth of everything that he had. He gave him a tithe, the Bible says. The tithe is an Old Testament principle that's kicked into a new level in the New Testament. Somebody said tithing's not in the New Testament. You're right, tithing is taken to a whole different level when you get to the New Testament. Amen. It's kicked into second gear, into overdrive. The principle of tithing, you see, if you read your Bible, you'll discover something. You'll discover that God has asked you to give. God has commanded you to give. And God's promised you a blessing if you give. Can I say God wants you to give? Amen. I can give my tithe. Number two, I can give my time. Sure I can. I can give my time. Matthew chapter number 5, Jesus is teaching the Sermon on the Mount. And toward the end of that chapter, he tells them something. He said, if somebody asks you to go a mile with them, go with them too. And if somebody asks you to borrow something, don't turn them away. And then he gives them this principle. He said, I tell you, love your neighbor. And go ahead and love your enemy too. Your time is the one of the most valuable commodities that you have. Time is something that you can never recover. Therefore, for you to give your time to somebody else is certainly a gift. It takes time to come to church. Amen. It takes time. You know why some people don't come to church? They don't think they've got the time. Hey, friend, I'll be honest with you. I don't have the time not to come to church. Amen? That's right. It takes time to go to church. It takes time to go to somebody that's sick and hurting and sit by their side. It takes time to read your Bible. It takes time to pray. It takes time to be a servant of this church. And one of the greatest things you can give, well, it's your time. Amen? Number three, I can give my tithe, I can give my time, I can give my talents. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is making a comparison. It's a comparison between the church and a body. And chapter 12 is all about spiritual gifts. And he said, just like the body has many members that function in different capacities to make the body work for the good of the whole, he said, God has given diverse ministries to the church. Ministrations is the way he puts it. God gives diverse administrations. And not all the gifts are the same. All the gifts are different, but they all have one thing in common. They're all to be given and used for the good of the whole. God's given you an ability and a talent. It may not be my talent. It may not be somebody else's talent. But it's something you can do for the good of the whole. And we can't be selfish with that. We can't be negligent with that. We've got to give that. So the church functions properly. Number four, I can give my testimony. I can give my testimony. Right before Jesus leaves, Acts chapter number 1, he's about to be called up into heaven. He gives one final commandment to his disciples. You know what it is, don't you? He looked at those men and he said, go ye into all the world. He said, be witnesses in me in all the world. Go into all the world. Go into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. Go be a witness. Very last thing he said. You see, you and I have been called upon to tell someone else about Jesus Christ. Amen. When we hear it's more blessed to give than receive, we automatically think about money. But it's bigger than that. It's a call to give our time. It's a call to give our talent. It's a call to give our testimony. It is to do for somebody else instead of somebody else always having to do for you. With that said, let me give you three reasons it's more blessed to give than to receive. Write them down. Number one, it's more blessed to give than receive because it demands a reliance upon God. Giving demands a reliance upon God. Verse 23, Abraham said, I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet. He's just been offered a great spool. He said, I'm not taking it. I'm not taking it. He said in verse 23, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I've made Abram rich. When the king of Sodom comes and he offers Abraham the spoil of the battle, Abraham responds to the king by saying, I'm not taking anything from you because I am trusting God to supply all of my needs. Abraham was blessed of God and he knew it. Ever since the day the Lord appeared to Abraham and called him to follow, Abraham had been trusting God to supply all of his needs. And when we give, it shows a reliance on our part that we are trusting God to supply all of our needs. You know, I told you that giving is taken to a different level in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they said, give a tenth of what you got. In the New Testament, Paul said, let me give you a good illustration of giving. It's in the book of, the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. He said, I'll give you the example of the Macedonians. He said, who in their deep poverty gave unto your liberality? He said, they were struggling. They were strapped. They were up against it. They didn't have two nickels to rub together. They were going through it themselves, but when they found out somebody else needed something, they could not stop themselves from giving. That's the example that Paul gave. You see, you and I, we are to give. Now you say, preacher, let's talk about the tithe. Preacher, I don't have the money to put in the offering plate. Really? By giving in that offering plate, you know what you're doing? You're saying without saying, and you may even go ahead and say it in your heart. You may say, God, I don't know how I'm going to give and get through this week, but I'm going to trust you. You told me to do this, God. You said for me to give, so I am going to trust you to supply all of my needs. You know, God can make a dollar go further than you can make $100 go. Amen. Amen. That's right. God can help. God's promised help. You say, well, I'm going to give my time. Giving your time in service to God shows a reliance on God. It shows that you are relying on God, that eternal things are greater than temporal things, so you're willing to give your time here so He'll bless you over there. You say, I'll give my talent. That's a wonderful thing. That shows your reliance on God. For you to stand up here and sing, or for me to stand up here and preach, for me to do what God's called me to do, is for me to say, God, I'm not much, but I'm going to do what you told me to do, and I'm going to trust you to take it and bless it. Amen. For me to give my testimony is scary and it's hard, but it's me relying on God to touch somebody else's soul because I've given what He told me to give. It is more blessed to give than receive because, number one, it demands a reliance upon God. Number two, it is more blessed to give than receive because it displays a reflection of God. It displays a reflection of God. Verse number 18 through 20. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he, Abraham, gave him, Melchizedek, tithes of all. When Melchizedek and Abraham meet, we know that Abraham offered him tithes. We know that Abraham gave. But notice this. Abraham's giving was a reaction to Melchizedek's giving. The Bible tells us that when Melchizedek comes in verse 18, he has bread and wine. He brings something to share with Abraham. And verse 19 says that he blesses Abraham. These two things happen before Abraham gives. He gives him bread and wine, shares the Lord's Supper with him, and then he gives him a blessing. And in reaction to that, Abraham gives him a tithe. Or can I say it this way? Abraham's giving was not just a reaction to the gift, it was a reflection of the gift. Melchizedek, Hebrews chapter number 7, I believe it is. Hebrews 4:7. Melchizedek is a type and a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's without father and mother. We don't know where he come from. He never was born. He never did die. I don't understand all that. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. He's a type of Christ. And here we could see it this way. Here is Christ giving, and in turn Abraham is giving a reflection. He's a reflection of what has been done. He gives because he has been given to. You see, it was a reflection of that. I said this earlier, but I'll say it again. Jesus lived his life for others. Jesus was always doing something for others. Therefore, if I live my life as a blessing to somebody else, you know what I'm doing? I am being a reflection of Jesus to them. They can see Jesus in me. Oh, I'm not Jesus, but I'm a reflection of him. You see, God was always giving. And if I am willing to do for others and help others and live for others, other people can see Jesus Christ in me. But now if I'm selfish, if I live for me, if I only care about how things benefit me, then I may be a blessing to myself, but others cannot see Jesus in my life. You see, Melchizedek was a type of Christ, and he's a giving man. And when Abraham saw that, he said, well, if he's going to give, I better give. You see, giving displays a reflection of God. I'm showing Christ to someone else. Number three, giving delivers a reward from God. Giving, number three, delivers a reward from God. Look at Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 1. The verse immediately following Abraham's decision to give instead of receive. In verse 15 says, and after these things, after what things? After Abraham gave. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And he starts talking to him about giving him a son. When Abram makes the decision to reject the king of Sodom's gift and instead give to the king of Salem, it does not take God long to show up and promise him a blessing. Now understand what I'm saying. I am not telling you to give to others for the purpose of receiving yourself. That's contrary to everything I've just preached up to this point. If I was to say that, I'd be double talking. I'm not saying that. Hey, you give for the sake of giving. That's not the way Christ gave. Christ just gave to other people with no hopes of receiving anything in return. But at the same time, I cannot turn my eyes away from the fact that God has promised you a blessing if you give. Let's think about our verse. Let's think about the title of our message. It's more blessed to give than receive. Think about this with me. It is more blessed. Oh, there it is. Right there's the promise of the blessing. It is more blessed. There's the promise of the blessing. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Think about this with me, please. Christ gave. In fact, he went as far as to give his life for somebody else. But do you know what God did in reaction to Christ's gift? He blessed him. You said, did he really? Yep. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. You know what the Hebrew writer said? The Hebrew writer said he gave his life on Calvary, and God gave him a throne. And the joy that was set before him, he gave him a bride. Jesus gave, and in reaction to that, God gave him something back. Paul, writing to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 11, said, "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." That's his gift. And in reaction to that, verse 9, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Christ every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus gave. God gave him something in return. You say, "What's that got to do with me?" Well, if you do what Jesus did, do you not think God will do for you what he did for Jesus? Amen. You give and watch God give. Let me read you a verse. It's in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10. Malachi said, "Bring ye the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." The Bible said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, these are Jesus' words, "Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again." Amen. Jesus said, "Just try me out." You give, not for getting something in return. You just give because God has called upon you to give. Amen. See if I don't give you something back. You give God your tithes. Just see what God will do. Give him your time and see how he'll bless your life. Give him your talents and watch how he'll use you. Give your testimony and watch as he starts saving people because you gave. You've heard this won't be the first time you've heard this, but I feel like saying right here, you've heard before, you cannot outgive God. Amen? You can't outgive God. I wonder what would happen if we lived our lives for others instead of ourselves. We live this selfish lifestyle because we want to be happy. And you know what I think we're doing? I think we're sacrificing the greatest happiness trying to make ourselves happy. I wonder what would happen if we lived our lives for others. I wonder what would happen if we gave more than we got. I believe that God would open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on us. I wonder, Brother Scott, can you get us a verse of invitation? I wonder why he does that. Well, he comes to give us a verse of invitation. Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart tonight. I didn't preach long, but maybe the Lord spoke to your heart. And there's something you want to come pray about. Maybe there's something that God wants you to give. Maybe he wants you to start giving you tithes. You've not been doing that. Maybe he wants you to give you time, your talents, your testimony, whatever it is. And tonight you want to say, "God, I'm going to come and I'm going to give. I'm going to live my life for somebody else. I'm going to take you at your word." While he sings, if you've got something you want to pray about, you just come right on.